In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today, and I am home today, and I want to stress today. I just got off a plane not too long ago, flying back from Pittsburgh after spending the weekend and the past few days at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in New Philadelphia, Ohio, and we can't forget Immaculate Conception Parish as well in Denison. There's one pastor for both parishes. We had a parish mission the last few days. I did the show live from there the past 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, and it was just awesome. The people there were amazing. The pastor, Father Jeff, is just awesome. My brother deacons were fantastic. I mean, the whole thing. There were so many EWTN viewers and people who listened to the show there. It was just awesome. And Kathy, the coordinator. I mean, I travel a lot, but this mission was one of those ones where you wake up every morning, you say, oh, I got to get on another plane, or, oh, I'm so exhausted. I get up at, like this morning, oh, dark 30, to get to the airport to catch a 6 a.m. flight to Atlanta and then a 5-hour flight back to Portland, and then doing the whole thing again tomorrow, So you wake up, you go, man, I can't believe I get to do this again. It's just a wonderful, blessed 3 days of mission. And so many people came. It was packed. The parish center was packed. And, so many teenagers, it was just, I'm almost at a loss for words how awesome this experience was. I'm so incredibly blessed that God has called me to this. And the beautiful part is I get home, and what I'm doing, I may have mentioned this before, I'm planning, now that my kids are adults, I used to take them on trips with me. So like if I'm speaking at a men's conference or this type of conference or youth conference, I used to bring one of the kids with me so they have some like daddy daughter time or daddy son time. Well, I haven't been able to do that since they're adults. I mean, they've got their own jobs, their own lives. And so I decided, you know what? I want to do a daddy-daughter or daddy-son trip with my kids individually as adults. And so I went to each of them and said, hey, I want to do a trip just with you. Where would you like to go? What do you want to do? So each of them were – they were very excited. And so we have all the trips planned. With each of the kids as adults, and I'm very, very excited. Now, you may be saying, what about your wife? I do stuff with her all the time. We just had a great weekend. As you heard, if you listen to the show regularly, we had an amazing weekend at the Oregon coast. And of course we know how Jack Williams loves the sea lion caves there on the coast of Oregon. We already have another long weekend getaway planned. I'm actively making sure that we're spending quality time together as a couple for sure. But I want to do something special with the kids as adults now. So I'm very, very excited for that. And so tomorrow, I'm home for today. Then tomorrow I head out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, giving the keynote address for Real Presence Radio, part of our EW10 radio family. I'm giving a keynote address at one of their fundraising banquets. So I fly there Thursday, speak Thursday night. Then I fly Friday to San Diego, and I'll be speaking at John Paul II radio fundraising banquet, giving the keynote address there. Then I fly Saturday morning to Pittsburgh, where I'll be speaking at a deacon conference at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology in Steubenville. So I'll be speaking with Scott Hahn. I'll be speaking with Dr. John Bergsma, And there'll be a couple other Steubenville University, Franciscan University of Steubenville professors also giving presentations at this conference. It's completely sold out. So I'm prepared. I'm a little bit nervous because this, nervous in the sense that, you know, I've never given this talk before, and it's more academic. So I'm actually excited about that, kind of, you know, break open, go deeper theologically and scripturally than I would normally do in a talk. But so I'm very excited about that aspect of it. But I'm always nervous before I give talks. And if I don't get nervous, then I know something's wrong. That's for sure. So I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. I know a lot of people have been praying for me and for Traveling Mercies. And so I want to thank you because I do feel those prayers. And I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful to all the members of the EW10 family out there. So God bless you all. All right. Well, today is Wednesday. You know what that means on Beacon of Truth, Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word. So grab your Bibles. We're taking a look at one of my favorite books of the Bible in the Old Testament, the book of Esther. Specifically, we're taking a look at Esther chapter 14. That is where what I call the prayer of Esther, right? So what I'll do after we do the Soulful Psalms, I'll just give a quick introduction to how we got to how Esther got to the point where she had to pray this prayer to God. So I'll just, you know, kind of summarize the story, and then we'll dive into the prayer. It's so powerful, this prayer. I think there's tremendous lessons that we can learn, and I want you to call. I want to hear from you. Yeah, when you're like when Esther is praying out of desperation for her people, and again, well, I'll set it up and explain how they got to the situation where she's doing this prayer. But she's praying from a place of anxiety. She's praying from a place of pain and anxiousness. But the way she prays while she's in that state, that's what I want to talk about, because it's incredibly beautiful, and I always get inspired by looking at that prayer of Esther. So I want to hear, what's your go-to prayer when you're feeling anxious, stressed? What's your go-to prayer? How do you pray to God? What's your go-to? Or maybe you have a go-to saint. I would love to hear about that today as we walk through Esther chapter 14 on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I love doing this show each and every day. That's because we have some amazing people working behind the scenes. Charles Berry doing social media, Matt Kabinski screening those calls, and the one and only, you know, the bass is in the place, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I love hearing you talk about daddy-daughter dates, because, I mean, I literally was doing that with my girls. You know, they're adults now, except for my teenage daughter and son are still at home. But in that, since they were, you know, in, you know, their little car seats, right? Like, you know, we had the one that, like, just plugged right in. Like, you had the bass that was always there, and so you just, like, it'd, like, snap in. So it was easy to just lift out. And they'd sit on the table at the Dairy Queen or McDonald's or wherever we were. And every, you know, so often, every time as they got older, we just did more and more, which turned into movies. And we've done trips to Chicago and Indianapolis, and we've seen Broadway shows. I mean, it's, you know, I miss those days, because now there's boyfriends and fiancés involved.
Yes.
So there's never a time, or there's rarely a time, I won't say never, there's rarely a time when I go see them that it's just me and my girls. So secretly, as my daughter Mia was learning to drive, she would get nervous driving with me for whatever reason. Like, I'm not the greatest driver, but she just would get nervous. So I enjoyed it because it was kind of a pretend daddy-daughter date without saying that, because there was always like chicken minis or Frosties or something on the backside. Hey, that was good. You know, what do you want to get as your, you know, treat for doing great driving? And I would just make up those traditions just so that we could have that time together.
Yeah. I totally get that. You know, I'm not at a point where any of my kids are dating seriously or engaged in it, but I know that's going to be coming. So I just want to make sure while I still have the opportunity.
Sure.
To be able to spend some time with them. And so, yeah, very, very, very excited about that, you know. So that's going to be awesome.
And no offense, I like the boys they're in relationships with. I just miss my time with just them.
Yeah.
You know? There's just that connection.
Well, I mean, yeah, because we raised them to go off and eventually do their own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that it's good. I mean, we cherish the time that we have with them. And then, like the nest, you know, I saw this nature show the other day where the mother was pushing them out of the nest. And they were, like, falling. I'm like, oh, my goodness. They're, like, but they had to learn how to fly, you know. So, all right. Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about the prayer of Esther. Esther, Book of Esther, chapter 14, 833-288. EW10, that's 833-288-3986.
Yes. Now, if memory serves me right, there was a time that you and your wife used to swing dance. Is that a conversation we've had? I want
to. No, we used to dance, but not swing dance.
Okay.
But this would be a good tune to do it to if we did.
That speaking of the daddy daughter dates, that was one of the things we did when we were in Michigan. There's like a big swing community there, and so every summer they just pack out the whole park right on the river and just swing dance.
Oh, that's great.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things that get lost over time, you know?
And yeah.
Yeah, so it's good that people keep those old traditions and things alive. That's awesome. All right. It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word. We're taking a look today at Esther chapter 14, what I call the prayer of Esther. You know, she's praying from a position of anxiety, of stress, and I'll set it up after this in the next segment about what's going on. We'll dive into the prayer. Would love to hear from you. What's your go-to prayer when you're stressed, when you're anxious? Is there like, are you inspired by like St. Francis of Assisi or Thomas Aquinas or Catherine of Siena or the Little Flower? Or do you have a special go-to prayer? Did you create your own prayer? You know, what is it when you're stressed? How do you pray to God? That's what we're talking about today on Word of God Wednesday. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as the holidays approach, I know my wife is a huge collector of nativity scenes. If you are that or just looking for maybe a new one to add to your decor, a blue and champagne six-piece nativity, now new in the religious catalog. You can find out more about how to get that. Free standard shipping, order $75 or more when you use the code word free when you go to EWTNRC.com.
One of the reasons why I love Word of God Wednesday so much, we get a double dose of scripture because right now we're diving into the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. That's where we break open God's Word in the Book of Sung Praises, the Psalms from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and we take a look at how we connect those Psalms written so many years ago to our everyday lived experience. And I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms, approved for use in the Mass by the U.S. bishops and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. You can use whatever Bible you have there. Open up to the Psalms. It's going to be a different version, but still, the message is still very beautiful. Now, remember, this Soulful Psalm segment is its own podcast. Podcast Central, AW10.com, or on the EW10 app, or even Spotify or iTunes to download Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. Today, we're taking a look at Psalm 64. So Psalm 64 is in Book 2 of the Psalms, Psalms 42 to 72. So Psalms 42 to 49 are Sons of Korah. Psalm 50 is Asaph. Psalms 51 to 72 are David. All right. So, of course, 64 then will be written by David. Verse 1, the entire verse is the prescript. It says, for the choir master, a psalm of David. Very simple. So David wrote the words to the psalm and then gave it to the choir master to put music to. All right, so David dives in here at verse 2. Hear, O God, the voice of my complaint. Guard my life from dread of the foe. From the assembly of the wicked, hide me. From the throng of those who do evil. All right, so I picked this particular psalm for today because we're talking about the book of Esther. And Esther is also going to be praying from this position of, you know, I'm in dread right now. You know, I'm anxious right now. You know, there are wicked people after me. You know, it's almost the very same theme. So I just wanted to, it's going to be interesting to see how Esther approaches this, you know, looking how David approaches kind of that same situation. Because remember, David wrote a lot of the Psalms in this section while he was being pursued by Saul, right? So basically, 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 28 is the David being pursued and chased down by Saul, who's trying to kill him because he's jealous of David. All right, so David's praying to God out of this place of anxiety and stress. He goes, you know, please hide me. Where? Hide me from those who do evil. You know, hide me from the wicked. Shelter me, protect me, Lord. You know, I'm your servant. Remember, David talks about how he's the Lord's servant, which is, he's the king, right? So the main job of a king is to serve. Yes, his job is to rule, yes, but headship, leadership, and authority is rooted in service, right? In service. And so he said, Lord, I am your servant. Protect me so I can continue to do the work that you have called me to do. Continues at verse 4. Now he's talking about a little bit more about what's happening here. They sharpen their tongues like swords. Ah, see, so it's not just a physical attack, right? And, oh my goodness, I don't even have to tell you. You know, if you are speaking out boldly for a culture of life in the midst of this culture today, if you're opposing the culture of woke, if you are opposing the transgenderism, you know, I'm not talking about not accepting our brothers and sisters. I'm talking about, you know, buying into the whole thing where, you know, guys say that they're girls just because they think they are, that kind of a thing. And when we speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, when we speak the beauty and truth in love, we get attacked, right? So David is addressing, they sharpen their tongues like swords, right? Because words hurt. Words can hurt. You know, when you get attacked, it hurts, right? Verbally. They aim bitter words like arrows, right? Because David's a warrior. So he's comparing the attack that he's receiving, the verbal attacks, just like he's being attacked with weapons, right? Because words can be weapons. We can weaponize words, right? And I just can't stand that, particularly when you're trying to have a rational discussion with someone and all they do is what's called ad hominem attack. They just start attacking you personally instead of addressing your argument, right? Because ultimately, they don't really have an argument. They're just emotional. And they want to drag you into that emotional well with them, you know? So again, we approach this, like when people attack me, which happens, you know, what I hear, instead of getting defensive, I hear, I'm hurting, please help me. Or I hear, I'm lost. Please show me the way. Right? That's what I hear when I hear these attacks. David continues. They aim bitter words like arrows to shoot at the innocent from ambush, shooting suddenly and fearlessly. Right? So he's driving home the point of the attacks that he's facing, the verbal attacks, the slander, like in our culture, at the ad hominem attacks. Attacking me personally, it's if you're going to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, remember, my friends, the same thing that happened to Christ is going to happen to you. He was scorned, mocked, and ridiculed the entire time. The same thing is going to happen to us when we have the courage to stand up for the beauty and truth of our faith. Holding firm in their evil course. They conspire to lay secret snares. They say, who will see us? Who can search out our crimes? So in other words, they're acting with reckless abandon. Who's going to stop us? Who's going to stop us? Because we're God. Ooh, remember that temptation in Genesis 3? You will be like God. You don't need God because you're your own God. Who's going to stop me from slandering you? Who's going to stop me from doing these attacks? Right? So David's, they're saying this. He said, God, here's what they're saying, Lord. They're saying, who will see us? Who can search out our crimes? Who's going to stop us? Right? And David continues, they have hatched their wicked plots and brought them to perfection. How profound the depths of the heart. Wow. So David is looking at what's happening to him. He's looking at what's happening in the culture. He's looking at how he's being attacked. He's looking at what's going on in their hearts. How profound the depths of the heart. Why? Because your actions speak louder than your words, right? Although the words are attacking here, but where's that coming from? From the heart. Hearts that are turned away from God. Hearts that are not turned toward the other, seeking what's best for the other, respecting the dignity and the humanity of the other. This is something that's turned in on itself, right? And I think that that's what David's addressing here.
Yeah, and oftentimes we not only hold on to those words or let them cling to us, but then after that person is no longer in our circle of influence, we still hear that in our heads and our heart, and we think we'll never get past that point or that person's opinion of us, even though we're no longer near them or allowing their influence, but we still give them hold over us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because I've had people say to me, I can't believe that you believe this. I can't believe that you're attacking, you know, because I'm unabashed about being Catholic. I love the Catholic faith. It's true. Yeah. It's good. It's beautiful. Jesus Christ is the one who taught it. So I'm just teaching what God himself teaches, how to live all of that. Yeah. I want all of it. And, you know, when you get attacked like that, you know, I just don't take it personally. Yeah. You know, and I try to help the person to see Jesus because they can't see them because their hearts are too filled with hatred.
They don't know what they don't know.
Exactly. So David now, how does he want God to respond? He goes, God, again, with confidence, God will shoot them with his arrow. Again, God doesn't have arms or legs, right? So he's not talking, he's about God will what? With his arrow. His arrow of what? His arrow of truth. His arrow of goodness and beauty to deal them sudden wounds. Not wounds that will hurt them, but wounds that will heal them. Because remember, they're the ones causing the hurt. So it's just kind of the opposite. When God intervenes, the wounds that they're experiencing will be healed if they're open their hearts to the depth of God's love. Their own tongue brings them to ruin. All who see them shake their heads. Because now they see the contradiction. When God intervenes, God brings the truth, God's the light. Now they begin to see the truth. Then finally, they will all be afraid. They will tell what God has done. Just like we saw when the Gennesaret demoniac, when he took the demon out of the man living in the tombs who was naked, cast him into the pigs run over the cliff. They go and tell people what happened, right? They will proclaim what God has done, God's awesome power and might. They will wonder, they will ponder God's deeds. The just one will rejoice in the Lord and fly to him for refuge. All upright hearts will glory, right? It kind of reminds me what Jesus says. They will see the good things that you do and give glory to God. Amen. Word of God Wednesday. We're looking at Esther chapter 14. Grab your Bibles and break it open God's word. 833-288-EWTN.
Get your high boots on this one.
Yeah. And your big thick glasses and your Afro pick. Oh yeah, man.
I'm telling you, man, Soul Train line on a Friday when you're in the office, I think that's the way to wind down the week. Just get on the intercom.
It's Friday, you know, look at the week. Everybody's in a good mood because it's Friday and start of the weekend. Why not?
Especially if you could do it as people leave to go home for the weekend. Like, you know, make it happen.
That's awesome. Well, you get it started.
All right.
Now follow your lead, man.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. It's Wednesday. That means it's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're taking a look at the prayer of Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 14. So I'm going to set it up for you, and then we already got a couple people already calling in. So I want to just set it up, talk a little bit about the prayer of Esther, then dive right into our callers who have been very patiently holding. We will get to you, my friends, but I will also love you to give us a call. What's your go-to prayer? We're going to hear about Esther praying from a place of anxiety, of distress, and how she prays to the Lord when she's in that space. What is your go-to prayer when that's you, when you're Esther in that place? Do you have a go-to prayer? Do you have a go-to saint that you pray through, the intercession? What is your go-to during times of stress and anxiety? I would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
As we dive into Podcast Central this weekend, I want to invite you to join me for Catholics Coast to Coast. It is a show that we get to spotlight some of the great podcasts, over 100 different ones happening. And this weekend, we're going to look at the legacy of Catholic education with the help of the Cardinal Newman Society. And then Anchored in Hope breaks down the reasons behind the Hope Foundation with Father Larry Richards. So check it out Saturday at 2 p.m. or 6 p.m. Sunday night Eastern with Catholics Coast to Coast, only on EWTN Radio.
All right. So just to set this up real quick on what's going on here in the Book of Esther. All right. So this Esther takes place during the reign of King Ahasuerus. It says that he reigned from India to Ethiopia, and he had over 127 provinces that he ruled over. Okay, and including Persia, Medes, Israel, all of that. Okay, so he has many wives, but the queen, the main one, is a woman named Vashti. So one day, King Ahasuerus has a huge party. He has all his buddies, all the friends and stuff over, and they're drinking. They get a little intoxicated, and he said, bring out Queen Vashti so she could come in I could parade her around and show her everyone how beautiful she is. Well, Queen Vashti had her own little party going on because the women weren't invited to the king's soiree. And so she goes, no, I don't want to be paraded around like an object, you know, to amuse my husband's friends. I'm not going to do that. And so the king got very angry. And after consulting with his consulters, I guess, he said, well, you have to depose the queen and find another one. So he deposes Queen Vashti, goes around looking for another queen. And among the people that they were looking to was a woman named Hadassah. All right. So Hadassah is Esther. Okay. So if you look in chapter 2, verse 7, they said they brought to him Hadassah, that is Esther. Right. So Esther. So Esther was an orphan. Her parents were killed. And so her uncle, Mordecai, took care of her from the time she was a little girl. And so she goes into the king's service. He sees her. He's like, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And he makes Esther now the queen. Okay. King Ahasuerus decides to promote a guy named Haman, who's an Agagite, right? And so he goes, I'm going to promote you to this new position. And so Haman is arrogant. So he goes, okay, I'm in this new position. The king has elevated me. I want everybody, when I walk into their town, to bow down to me. And so he writes out the decree. The king lends him his ring, his signet ring. He puts his seal on the ring. See, this has the king's seal. When I walk into a town, everyone bows down to me. Well, they got to the place where the Jews live, and they wouldn't bow down to him. You know, because the only person we bow down to is God, right? And so he goes, well, I'm going to wipe out all of the Jews. I'm just going to wipe out the Jews from the face of the earth. And so he sends out a decree that says we're going to wipe the Jews out on this particular day. So Mordecai sends word to Esther that says, hey, have you seen this decree? Here's what's happening. And so through Esther's eunuch, who's assigned to her, these messages are going back and forth. Esther's like, I can't do anything. If I go to the king when he hasn't called me, I could face death. And so she sends a message back, and Mordecai says, well, is it better that we die then? You know, it may be for this very reason why God put you in that position as queen. You know, and so he says, so they're going back and forth. So finally, Esther says to Mordecai, look, go gather all the Jews in Susa. That was the area that where the Jews were in Susa. Hold a fast on my behalf. So look, I want all the people to fast for me. They are to not to eat or drink for 3 days and three nights. I and my maids will also fast as well. Then after the fast, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law, she says, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai said, okay, we're going to do it. And they went away. And then we get into the prayer of Esther. So that's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. We're looking, it's Word of God Wednesday. We're taking a look at Esther chapter 14, the prayer of Esther. How does she pray to the Lord when she's in this position where her people are going to be eliminated? Because when she became queen, she did not disclose to King Ahasuerus that she was Jewish, that she was an Israelite, right? So I would love to hear, what's your go-to prayer from a place of anxiety and stress? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Herminia is calling from Southern California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to Beacon of Truth. Hello, Herminia, are you there? Welcome.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad I got through. I really enjoy your station and your all of your talks, Deacon Harold. When you started the conversation about 20 minutes ago or whatnot, you were talking about how do we get ourselves to, what type of prayers do we use to help us, you know, get through stressful situations, for example. Mm-hmm. And my personal situation is I've recently, the last few years from COVID over here, I try to do a rosary every evening. And for whatever reason, even prior to that, just praying and starting with a Hail Marys and Our mm-hmm. Fathers, for me, will help me calm down and the anxiety of whatever the situation might be. And some people might not realize, but it could be that simple of a prayer that we know. And a lot of us, sometimes we wonder. I remember younger, I'm in my mid-60s, that I would say, how do I pray? What prayers do I say? Mm-hmm. And I think about it. You don't really have to have a specific prayer. A lot of times, just repeating our basic prayers are very helpful. And for me, I can attest to that.
Oh, what a beautiful testimony. You know, sometimes when you say prayers over repetitive prayers, sometimes, it's just meaningless blabber. You just say the same thing over and over again. But Herminia, we're talking about praying the rosary. You're praying scripture. What's wrong with repeating scripture over and over again? It's God's word. There's nothing wrong with repeating God's words over and over again, particularly when you're in a stressful situation. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. That's a beautiful way to pray when you're in that time situation. Just praying, meditating on the Hail Mary, or you know, praying the rosary, but maybe just praying the Hail Mary. You know, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know that some people have been blessed by your call today. We're looking at today's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're taking a look at the prayer of Esther from Esther chapter 14. Would love to hear from you. How do you pray when you're stressed, when you're in a position of anxiety? What's your go-to prayer? Do you fast and pray? Ooh, how about that? Right? Remember, because look what Esther. Esther asked Mordecai and all the people of Israel living in Susa to fast for her. And she and her maids fasted as well. Is fasting part of your sacrifice when you're praying from a position of stress? Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So Esther's prayer says, Esther, the queen, seized with deathly anxiety, right? Oh my goodness. I mean, deathly. I mean, she's so anxious that it feels like she's dying, right? Wow. This was serious. What happens? It says, the word of God, she fled to the Lord. She sought God for her refuge in her time of deathly anxiety. He says she took off her splendid apparel because she was the queen. She's dressed in all her beautiful queenly garb. She took that all off. She put on garments of distress and mourning. So sackcloth, ashes. She says, instead of costly perfumes, she covered her head with ashes and dung. You know what dung is, right? She covered herself with ashes and dung, and she utterly humbled her body, and every part that she loved and adored, she covered with her tangled hair. Wow. So it wasn't just verbal prayer. She got her whole body involved in this prayer to God, right? She prepared herself by preparing her body, her mind, her soul, her whole being was humble before the Lord, right? Man, would love to hear from you. How do you humble yourself when you're praying to God out of a position of anxiety? You know, she prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel, "Oh my Lord, thou only art our King. Help me, who am alone and have no helper but thee, for my danger is in my hand." Right? I have this responsibility of going to the King, Lord. I'm taking my life into my own hands. But from this position, Lord, I am trusting you and you alone, because you are God. I love that. And I love this. "Ever since I was born," Esther continues, "I have heard in the tribe of my family that thou, O Lord, did takes Israel out of all the nations and our fathers from among all their ancestors from an everlasting inheritance, and that thou do for them all that thou didst promise." In other words, you promised these things to the people and you kept your word, Lord. "And now we have sinned before thee, and thou hast given us into the hands of our enemies because we glorified their gods." So Esther is humble enough and look at the situation. Here's why we think this is happening, Lord. We did not live up to our end of the covenant. And you're not punishing us. What you're saying is like, okay, you don't want to follow me? Well, here's the natural result of not putting yourself into my care. Right? Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. We're talking about how you pray from a position of anxiety, looking through the lens of Esther on this Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Allison, calling from Washington, just north of me here, listening on Sacred Heart. Allison, and thank you for calling back. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Deacon Harold.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What would you like to share with us?
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband and I have taught our children the offering of prayer that Mary taught the three shepherd children, and that has just helped a lot throughout our lives with challenges that we faced, especially with work. And even when the kids just make us angry or mad, and we do the offering of prayer. And and so I just find comfort in that God will take my suffering and use it for the good of others that we might not ever know. And we might meet them in heaven someday due to our offering up our suffering to God.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. And exactly. See, and that's what Esther's doing. She's offering, well, she did her own prayer, but she's offering her prayer that includes her whole self, her body, her mind, and soul, offering that to God. So the Fatima prayer, beautiful prayer of offering. And I love that, the fact that you're offering it for others. So it's not just about you. Just like Esther, she's praying on behalf of her people. It's not just about what I need, Lord. I'm praying on behalf of my people. So, Allison, love that. Love that you used the Fatima prayer in the same way that Esther used her prayer, praying on behalf of others. And because prayer truly works, and prayer truly benefits those who extend themselves and place themselves in the Lord's care and place their heart within His most sacred heart. Beautiful. We're talking about how you pray, like Esther. Esther chapter 14 on Word of God Wednesday, Beacon of Truth. How do you pray from a position of anxiety and of stress like Esther did? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Lori is calling from Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130. Lori, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you.
Most welcome. Yeah, go ahead, please, Lori.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that my go-to prayer when things are just looking really bad or I really need an extra boost of courage is, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes.
That's my go-to prayer.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Right. Because again, it takes you, in a sense, out of puts God in the center, right? Greater is He. It's not me. It's God in me, right? It reminds me of Paul in Galatians. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? Dying to myself and allowing Christ's love to envelop me, right? So that my heart and God's heart are one, right? Oh, that is awesome. Lori, thank you so much for that beautiful call. Let's go to Jennifer, calling from Central Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Jennifer, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer.
Yes,
welcome.
Hi, Beacon. I pray a lot, and with big situations, there's always Mass and Rosary and Divine Mercy are so powerful. But when I come up to something that I need help with, like right now, I always pray the Memorare, because I depend on our Blessed Mother. She is always the best intercessor and takes care of me.
Oh, I love that, and I couldn't agree with you more. After I do pray the office, because when I pray as a deacon, when I pray the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office every day, that's the public prayer of the church. So as an ordained minister, I'm praying that on behalf of the entire church. That's the other public prayer of the church, the Divine Office and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But after that, I add a series of my own prayers, which always includes the Memorare. So I love that, Jennifer. That's one of my go-tos as well. Beautiful prayer. So I haven't prayed that prayer for a long time. Go to EW10.com or go on the app and take a look at that prayer. It's absolutely beautiful. In fact, that was one of the favorite prayers of Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta. Memorare was very, very special to her. In fact, when she prayed for something, she would pray, I think, was it 8 Memorares, and then she would add a 9th one. So it'd be almost like a novena, but she would pray 8 Memorares in a row and then add a 9th one to kind of make it like a novena. So yes, absolutely. We're talking about praying today out of a position of anxiety and stress, focusing on this Word of God Wednesday, the prayer of Esther in Esther chapter 14. Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. David is calling from St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio Network. David, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, my friend.
Good. So God's been trying to get me to pray the rosary for a long time. I was on a retreat one time, and I was asking God, okay, what do I need to do to help advance this relationship? I took about two or three more steps. I seen something shiny on the ground. I went over, I picked it up, and it was a finger rosary. Oh. I just stuck it in my pocket, didn't think anything of it. About a year later, my son and I were going on a fishing trip, and he said, Dad, I want you to hear something. Played a talk by a Irish Dominican by the name of Father John Walsh. You want to hear a great talk on the rosary? Just Google EWTN, Celtic Connection, Father John Walsh praying the rosary from the heart. It's beautiful. Really makes the rosary come alive. Still didn't think anything of it. Then 2 months ago, I'm sitting on a side street. I'm a plumber. I'm waiting for a plumbing inspector. I got a window of time. Don't know when he's going to show up. So I'm working on bids, and my committee in my head, that all the dysfunction in my head starts yammering at me. And I said, you know, God, I'm surrendering this. Please take it away. And it settled down. A couple minutes later, here it comes again. I said, come on, God, I really need some peace here. And, you know, it settled back down. A few minutes later, here it comes again, and I just yelled, shut up. And I said, God, what do I got to do to get these demons out of my head? And not a second went by, and a truck drove by me going north. And on the tailgate of the truck, in letters about 8 inches tall, it said, pray the rosary.
Ooh.
And, you know, when I ask God for billboards, he usually gives them to me. And
yeah.
So ever since then, that's my go-to. I pray it in the morning. Father John Walsh talks about that any time that I pray that rosary, any time I can connect to any mystery of the rosary to any part of my life. And when I pray that at that moment, I'm bringing the divine into my everyday. I'm bringing God's redemptive life into my life. I'm kneading it into the fabric of my life. And it has made a huge difference. My wife has been going through a real tough time with some illness the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I completely, totally, anytime I pray the rosary and I can connect to every mystery of what we're going through. And when I do that, I get a peace and serenity. Not because the storm subsides, but it's in the midst of the storms. And that's the gift of that prayer for me. And God always gives me direction for it. So how do I humble myself? I don't tell God what I need.
Beautiful. You know, we're in the Soulful Psalm segment today. We talked about Psalm 64 written by David. It says, God will shoot his arrows at them. And so for us, the rosary is a weapon, not a weapon to hurt, but a weapon to heal, right? So, David, I absolutely love that. We only got a couple minutes left. Let's see if we can get to Susie in Pensacola, Florida. Listen on Sirius XM 130. Real quick, Susie, welcome to Beacon of Truth. Love having you here.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, well, when I have anxiety or anything, I love the rosary, and I love, you know, just saying that. Sometimes I don't even say the whole Hail Mary if I'm upset about something. I just go, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, and how it calms me down. And I have to tell you this. I got to meet President Trump at the Alabama-Georgia game, and I had a rosary in my pocket, and I got to hug him, and I put it in his hand, and I told him, I said, President Trump, I want to let you know that I say the rosary for you every day, and I know I think you used to be Catholic and your wife is Catholic, and I want to give you this rosary. And he said, thank you, and he put it in his pocket.
Oh, how awesome is that? Oh, what a great story. Thank you so much, Susie, for sharing that with us. That is awesome. You see, we see how much the Blessed Mother is kind of our go-to, and that's why I love Esther. Here's a woman praying from her heart out to God. So we have the Blessed Mother also interceding for us when we reach out to God. Well, we're not going to be able to get to Stephanie or Gary, but, oh, guys, thank you so much for calling in. Lots of calls today. Powerful presentation of prayer today, looking at Word of God Wednesday, Esther. Go back and read the book of Esther. It's not very long, But again, you can see the whole prayer for yourself, Esther chapter 14. All right. Well, tomorrow we've got Open Line guest, Open Line Tuesday guest, Father Wade Benitez is going to be here talking about his great new book on prayer for men. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.